This is Big F and Joe, and you're listening to the Memphis Continental Wrestling Podcast. Without Memphis, there would be no hardcore, and obviously we all know where that leads. Live your best life, die your best death.
You know, I've been in this industry for a long, long time. And you know, I got my start right there in Memphis, Tennessee. So what better person than to give a little intro to the only podcast in the UK that specifically talks about Memphis wrestling. That's right. We're talking about Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Folks, sit back, grab you a cup of hot tea. Hope you enjoy it. Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast.
Got a doggone good-looking show lined up.
This is the future, baby, and Jimmy Hart's here. You're not in the same caliber as I am.
Who's the greatest wrestler in the world, and why am I?
You're acting like a hoodlum now. Come on, quit it.
Ho! What do you hear? What do you say? Hello again, wrestling fans, and welcome to the studios of the Old Bakery as we get ready to give you another exciting week here at the UK's number one and only Memphis Wrestling Related Podcast. We are the Memphis Continental Wrestling, the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast, even. And I am your host, Mr. Luke Jennings, hoping the podcast finds you fine and dandy here on May the 11th, 2024. This is episode 156. Please do not forget to subscribe to the our home, the Place to Be Wrestling Network. If you haven't, if you're just listening to us, don't forget to subscribe to the whole channel so you can get a whole range of shows covering such topics as Who's Next with This Ring, PTB Weekend Special, PTBN's Main Event, Nation Invasion, Highway to the Impact Zone, and everything brought to you by the Old Bakery Productions, be it the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast, Hamburg All-Stars, Monday Night Project, our monthly Pure Wrestling Passion, coming this Tuesday, our brand new weekly show, In Your House. We are covering the monthly / bi-monthly, whatever they were, the classic WWF In Your House, as we start this coming Tuesday on the 29th anniversary of In Your House 1. We will be bringing you that in our traditional way that we bring all your podcasts to you. I'll be watching it along. If you want to, you can watch it on the network, the Peacock, or if you've got it somewhere, watch along, and then I'll do my usual commentary, my usual thoughts, my usual input of the show. But that is coming this coming week. We're covering the May 14th. We're covering In Your House 1 all the way up until In Your House St. Valentine's Day Massacre, February 1999. I think it's 27. I think that's what we're only on for 27 weeks. Because then after WrestleMania 15, it then becomes Backlash. It then becomes Over the Edge. It then becomes Fully Loaded. It's no longer In Your House Backlash. It's no longer In Your House Over the Edge or whatever. So we're going to be covering them. So we're going to be seeing them. We're going to be seeing some interesting matches. There's at least one good match per show. As of recording this, I've recorded three shows of the. I look to get ahead of myself. You're listening to this on the 11th of May. I'm recording this on the 21st of April. That's how far ahead I am. Purely because my wife works when I'm usually. When I'm at home, my wife's at work, so I like to sort of just sit in there just, you know, vegging out. I like to get ahead on my podcast. I enjoy doing podcasts, which is now why I've got five of the bastards. But yeah, so there's at least one good match per show. I know as we head into 1996, 1997, that then becomes sort of two good matches per pay-per-view or whatever, but yeah, so you can find that on the Place to Be Wrestling Network this coming Tuesday. You can find out more information on the network and the shows at PTB and Wrestling. Don't forget to follow our sister network, the North-South Connection, again, available on all good podcast suppliers, bringing you such great shows as New Gen on a Mission, Wrestling Warzone, The Jenny Position, A La Carte with Keithy, Hail to the Keith, Kronoso, Extreme Theory with Dance, and many other great shows covering a whole range of topics, both wrestling and non-wrestling. For more information, follow the guys on Twitter at NoSoPodNetwork, and you'll also find them on YouTube. Just search North South Connection on YouTube. Some of their podcasts are video only podcasts, so you'll find out more information there. And youtube.com/@MemphisCast allows you to watch today's episode. There is a link in the description, as always. There's also some single matches on there. We've got Terry Funk versus Harley Race from 1974. We've got a whole plethora of things, not just Memphis. And while you're out and about, please visit whenitwascool.com for podcast articles and much more on retro pop culture, comics, wrestling, movies, TV, toys, history, and more. This week we're covering the 7th of July 1984. We're now in the summer of 1984. Things are going to be heating up for our Memphisonian friends. Last week we covered the 30th of June where we saw a merciful beating, blondes, tables breaking, gymnastics and the usual awesomeness from the Memphis territory. Before we head down to ringside, let's see what's been happening around the rest of the wrestling world this week. On the 1st of July 1984, Georgia Championship Wrestling holds a show in the Omni in Atlanta, GA. Ronnie Garvin defeats Jake Roberts to win the NWA TV title. Jimmy Valiant and Dusty Rhodes defeat the Road Warriors. The Spoiler defeated Brad Armstrong to win the NWA national title. Gene and Ole Anderson defeat the Assassins, that being Jody Hamilton and Hercules Hernandez. Nikolai Volkov battled the Masked Superstar to a double countout. Crusher Blackwell defeated Dale Vesey. Crusher Khrushchev defeated Tommy Rogers. Also in the first Southwest Championship Wrestling Holiday Show at the Hemisphere Arena in San Antonio, Texas. 6,000 witness Steve Simpson defeating Juan Reynosa. Bill Howard defeated Manny Villalobos. Tony Falk defeated Steve Dupree. Evelyn Stevens defeated Susan Green. We saw Evelyn a few weeks ago teaming with Dutch Mantel. Carlos Colon and Al Perez defeated the Sheepherders. Killer Tim Brooks defeated Bobby Jaggers in a chain match to win the Southwest Heavyweight title. Eric Embry defeated Bobby Fulton in a scaffold match to win the Southwest Junior Heavyweight title. Bruiser Brody battled Abdullah the Butcher to a double disqualification. In a show that we may see highlights of today, on the 2nd of July, there is a show here in Memphis, Tennessee. 6,749 witness Ron Sexton defeating the Nightmare via disqualification. The Animal defeated Tony Torres. Jim Neidhart defeated Johnny King. Johnny Wilhoit and Mark Batten drew with the Hollywood Blondes. Dutch Mantel and Porkchop Cash defeated Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo. Southern Tag Team Champions Phil Hickerson and the Spoiler beat the New Fabulous Ones. CWA International Title Champion, Masa Ito defeated Austin Idol. Jerry Lawler defeated Southern Champion Rick Rude by disqualification. Jerry Lawler then won a two-ring battle royal where everyone was in the match and the winner got $10,000, $100,000. I think it's $10,000 because they were showing the cash last week. Also on the 2nd in Oakland, California, WWF are putting on a show for $10,000 and they are witnessing Alexis Smirnoff defeating Tony Guerrero, Mundo Rex defeating Steve Pardy, Jimmy Snuka defeating Paul Orndorff, WWF champion Hulk Hogan defeats Big John Studd by countout, B. Brian Blair defeats Tiger Chung Lee, WWF tag team champions Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis defeat the Wild Samoans, Jesse Ventura defeated Terry Daniels, WWF Intercontinental Champion Tito Santana defeated Moondog Spot. Sergeant Slaughter defeated the Iron Sheik by disqualification. 4th of July, World Class Championship Wrestling have their Independence Day Star Wars match in Fort Worth, Texas. 12,721 witnessed Killer Khan defeating Mike Reed, Scott Irwin and The Missing Link defeating Jose Lothario and Buck Zumhoff, World Class American Champion Gino Hernandez defeated Jules Strongbow, Kelly Kaninsky defeated George Weingraf, The Fabulous Freebirds of Hayes, Gordy and Roberts defeat Kerry Michael and Kevin Von Erich to win the World Class six-man titles. Iceman Parsons defeated Bill Irwin. As a result, Parsons won the World Class American Tag title and chose Buck Zumhoff as his partner. Why? Gino Hernandez won a pole battle royal. Chris Adams and Stella Mae French defeated Jimmy Garvin and Precious in a loser leave town cage match. If you haven't already, as I'm recording this, the other day was the Chris Adams Dark Side of the Ring. If you do get a chance to watch it, it's interesting. It's sad. If you know the history of Chris Adams, you know it's going to be sad. I've seen the Terry Gordy one and I've seen the Harley Race one. I've been sent a link and I'm going to be watching the Earthquake one after I've recorded this week's podcasts. And then finally, we've got three shows to end the 7th of July. Firstly, Mid-South Wrestling have got a show in Hammond, Louisiana. The main event is Midnight Express defeating the Rock and Roll Express in a steel cage loser leave town match. Also, the WWF have got show in the Spectrum in Philadelphia, 15,529, also being televised on the Prism Network as Salvatore Bellomo pins Moondog Rex, Big John Studd pins Bobo Brazil, Greg Valentine defeats Pat Patterson, WWF champion Hulk Hogan defeats Paul Orndorff, the Wild Samoans defeat Mr. Fuji and Tiger Chung Lee. I'm guessing the Samoans are faces, we wouldn't like to say. Jimmy Snuka defeats Roddy Piper via disqualification. George Steele defeats Steve Lombardi. WWF Tag Team Champions Adrian Anderson, Dick Murdoch defeat Bob Backlund and B. Brian Blair. That's a lot of B's. And also, finally, and as well as a show that happened, was in Greensboro, North Carolina, in the Coliseum for JCP and NWA. A small attendance here of 5,868, witnessing Sam Houston defeating Ali Bay, Tom Schaaf defeating Kurt Von Hess, Buzz Sawyer defeating Johnny Weaver, Rufus R. Jones defeats Jesse Barr, The Assassins defeating the Midnight Express. Now that is Leroy and Luther Dragon. For a brief period, a tag team called the Midnight Express in Jim Crockett's Mid-Atlantic area made up of enhancement wrestlers and brothers, Leroy and Luther... Oh, sorry, Dargan. I thought I said Dragon. Leroy and Luther Dargan. The team is no way related to any version of the canonical Midnight Express. So they've got nothing to do with Dennis Condrey and Randy Rose, nothing to do with Norvell Austin, nothing to do with Bobby and Stan, nothing. They're just called the Midnight Express. Midnight Express are in Mid-Atlantic... Sorry, they're in Mid-South at the minute. And I guess JCP, I just want to try. They're trying to they're trying to milk the Midnight Express cow. Remaining matches from the show: Adrian Street defeats Paul Jones via disqualification. Jimmy Valiant defeats Kamala. Tully Blanchard defeats Ricky Steamboat by disqualification. And the main event: Ric Flair pins Wahoo McDaniel. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's now head down to ringside to see what Lance and Dave have got for us as we cover the 7th of July 1984 in episode 156 of the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the drill by now. Please enjoy.
Be glad you came. Hello again, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown, and we are right here ready to go with another, and I mean really big day on Championship Wrestling.
Tony Torres going to be in here in the opening match today. We had our first look at him a couple of weeks ago, and he looked mighty good today. He's going against Mr. Ito.
Tough job.
Jimmy Hart as his manager. Hickerson and the Spoiler will be along as a tag team a little bit later on. Dutch Mantel teamed with Porkchop Cash in a tag team match. We will have the New Generation here. We will also have Poffo Mania, Randy Savage, Sir Lanny Poffo in a tag team match. And a little bit later on, six-man tag team action. This will be our expiration of time match. On one side of the ring, it'll be the King, Jerry Lawler, and Steve Kern and Stan Lane. That's not all.
Oh, already, I like it.
Yamamoto is also back. Kojo is back in a capacity that we're not used to seeing him in.
We have been used to seeing them when we move away, and Tojo is coming at it. We'll have all of that and much more, and we better get at it. We're going to take time out now. Be back in just a moment.
So, we've got some action happening. Tony Torres versus Mr. Ito. We saw Tony Torres last week. He teamed with Ken Raper against the Hollywood Blondes. Tony Torres did most of the action and looked good doing it. We've also got Phil Hickson and the Spoiler teaming up in the match. We've got Dutch Mantel and Porkchop Cash teaming up in the match. New Generation teaming up. Poffo Mania. And a six-man tag of Jerry Lawler, Steve Kern and Stan Lane. I said a few weeks ago that I didn't think we'd be seeing Stan and Steve in the ring. I could tell from their cage match that they were coming in and out of the area. They were, you could tell, obviously cage match isn't 100%... not reliable, but not, someone has to physically, I suppose, tell the people running that website the results. So if no one knows the results of the TV, which a lot of people don't, I've got a book here by Mark James and Tom and Tim Dills. It's the complete history of Memphis wrestling from 1980 to 1989. Mark James is a massive wrestling historian. He's well into his Memphis wrestling, and he doesn't even have results from this TV. I guess unless they're reported in the newspaper, you have to watch it every week to to know what's happening, because there's obviously 1984, there's no internet, there's no fucking social media. Thank God, what a glorious time we lived in 1984. I was born in 1986, but anywho. So there's, if you're not sitting there watching it with a piece of paper going such and such beat, such and such, such and such, blah, 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 blah. I think the Mid-South Coliseum matches were recorded in the newspaper, but whether or not the TV was, I don't know. So obviously, if I'm going to see on Cage Match that Steve and Stan weren't on television, but then they're on television, one, it makes me look like an idiot, but, you know, it's just a bit like, oh, it's great to see him. And also, Tojo Yamamoto is back, and he's back now for, I'm going to say, a couple of years, but I could be wrong. I think he's even here. He's in the like the world-class USWA, I think, because he manages P.Y. Chuhai in, like, late 89 or whatever, when that whole world-class was going out of action. So US Jerry Jarrett brought world-class. It's where you get the Renegades Rampage. We're not going to, when we get to that point, we're not going to, 6 years away, so anything can happen. But we're going to be carrying on watching the Memphis TV. We're not going to be watching the USWA TV of the Texas variety, because you get, like, that's where I think Eric Embry goes, P.Y. Chuhai. I think Steve Austin's over there. You've got Taras Bulba. I'm trying to think of the other guys over there. Chris Adams. There's no Von Erichs, I don't think. And those kind of guys. But yeah, I think Tojo's still there then. So Tojo is now back, and then he's there until, and he passes away, I think, 1992. I think February time is around the anniversary of Tojo passing. Unfortunately, committed suicide, which is a horrible thing. I think he was sort of riddled with illness and aches and pains, and obviously couldn't, you know, it was in a time when suicide was not spoken about, where, you know, people's mental health wasn't cared about so much. But yeah, we're not going to get into that topic, because that's a not a, that's a topic for another podcast, where things are a bit darker. We try and keep things upbeat here, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, if you do have any issues with mental health, please do not hesitate to contact me. I've suffered with my mental health. I still do from time on time now. I'm not on social media anymore, but I am on Facebook Messenger. If anybody needs a chat, just hook me up. Just look for me on Facebook Messenger, Luke Jennings. I can be some ears for you, maybe give you some advice, but, you know, that's that. And we shall get back to the Memphis wrestling. So, ladies and gentlemen, please continue to enjoy.
The introductions, Dave.
All right, this is going to be a 1-fall, 10-minute time limit match. Introducing from Houston, Texas, at 209 pounds, over on the right of your screen, Tony Torres. And going against him from Osaka, Japan, 253 pounds, with his manager, Jimmy Hart, Mr. Ito, Masa Ito. This a 1-fall, 10-minute time limit match. The referee is Jerry Calhoun.
Okay. We're underway. Masa Ito versus Tony Torres. Tony Torres, black blue trunks, black boots, going against Masa Ito, red and green three quarters, no boots. Masa Ito managed by Jimmy Hart, happily waving the Japanese flag while holding the international title. Jerry Calhoun, the referee, as always, maroon top, beige trousers, green ropes, blue canvas. Full house here, as always, in the WMC studios. Masa Ito picks up Tony Torres, slams him down. Comes off the ropes with a beautiful dive and headbutt. Ito picks up Torres. Oh, standing thrust kick. They're stumping away on Tony Torres. Oh, like a chop. Some kids coming into the crowd. Excuse me, sorry. I'm drinking Pepsi Max Cherry. Maximum taste, no sugar. Mr. Ito attacking Torres. Oh, Torres trying to fire back, but Ito's using his weight advantage. It's only about a 50-pound weight advantage, but still there. Life edge top off the ropes. Oh, big dive and headbutt again by Ito. One, two, three. the winner of the match, Masa Ito.
It was a total victory for Ito. He just took control, as you said, even before the bell sounded, and kept it for a minute 20 seconds.
Okay, so Mr. Ito comes out with a victory over Tony Torres. Tony was really subjected to everything that Ito had right off the bat. You can see, as we look back on that particular match, some of the action that gave you an idea of Ito with that final move. That's what Hart was calling bombs over Tokyo.
And see, boy, it rattled Torres when he hit there.
Didn't he, though? He's got his shoulders down. Two and a three count. And, of course, Torres, who I back up what you said. I thought he looked awfully good. Right here, he never really had. Listen, we had such a short one. Why don't we go ahead and stick another one right in there as our opening match, and we'll get a little more in this segment. Well, on hindsight, with Hickerson and Spoiler coming out, I don't know whether we're ready for this or not. We are ready for the introductions for our second bout.
This will be one fall, 15-minute time limit at a total of 419 pounds over on the right of your screen. From Memphis, Tennessee, both of them, Jim Jameson and,
Big Lou Winston.
Big Lou Winston, yeah, substitution there. Big Lou Winston teamed up with Jim Jameson. And then on the other side of the ring at 521 pounds total weight, from parts unknown, the Spoiler. And from Jackson, Tennessee, Phil Hickerson. One fall, 15-minute time limit. The referee is Jerry Calhoun.
Well, we started off in the
opening. Match is underway. We've got Jim Jameson and a returning Lou Winston. We have not seen Lou Winston for quite some time. And last time he was here, he was a bad guy. I'm trying to look in my notes to see. He was at least here back in March. At least March she was here. Quite a while. Yeah. But Phil Hickerson is busy at the commentary booth as always, while the Spoiler works on Jim Jameson. Jim Jameson, red trunks, white boots. The Spoiler, black and red mask, black and red singlet, red boots. Front chin lock now by the Spoiler on Jameson. This is Jameson, the ropes. Irish hit by the Spoiler. Very low back body drop by the Spoiler. Spoiler. Oh, slaps him down. Spoiler now with Jameson. Rams him headfirst at the top turnbuckle. And again. That Tom Tuck, that was just a piece of metal wrapped in electrical tape. There's no padding, no foam. No lunch for George Steele. Jim Jameson trying to fight his way back out of this because the Spoiler was just paintbrushing him. Phil Hickerson still at the commentary booth. Oh, being hit at the side of the head by the Spoiler. And again, these tag team matches are usually handicap matches because Phil Hickerson's too busy running his mouth from the booth. Jim Jameson trying to get the tag to Lou Winston. Can't quite get it as the Spoiler's got him in a front face lock. Irish hit by the Spoiler. Oh, hooking clothesline there by the Spoiler. Hooking. Goes for the cover. One, two, no. Let's see. He pulls him up. Oh, big right hand by the Spoiler. Abusing Jim Jameson. Oh, and again. Knocking the youngster down. He's got a variety of outfits, does Jim Jameson. Shut up, Hickerson. Spoiler. Oh, we've got a boxing box here.
Choke? That boy don't even know how to choke. I'm telling you. Go ahead, Spoiler. Lay it on him, brother.
You are listening.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
One half of the AWA Southern Tag.
Jameson rammed again, head first at the top turnbuckle. You didn't know we had it so tough. Irish right there by the Spoiler. Oh, big knife edge chop sends Jim Jameson down and out. Nearly out of the ring as well. Spoiler drags him back up. Irish whips him. Big boot to the gut. Jameson down. Goes for the cover. One, two, no. Spoiler picks him up. Oh, God sakes. Grr, if these two were any fucking good. Oh, big round by the Spoiler.
happen.
For what, man? I'm a happy man.
Oh, clobbering now by the spoiler in the corner. Brings Jameson at the middle of the ring. Oh, drops him with a back suplex. Covers him nonchalantly. 1, 2, 3. The winner of the match, the spoiler.
What was the time on?
3 minutes, 18 seconds.
3:18. Marvelous. The only good thing about it is maybe we get rid of Hickerson.
Some other time.
We never even got an opportunity to get Lou Winston in there. And you want to see how the spoiler ended him, brother. Look at the way he bashed him down on the mat as he picked him up with that side suplex. Jerked him right on over. They really slammed him high, so he got the back of the neck.
And Lance is loving these replays that he's got. This is the second time now we've had a replay. Very high-end stuff here in Memphis.
As Phil Hickerson sat over here and ran his mouth about how great they are, we're going to take time out. We have got the Dutchman and Chops coming out here. We'll be looking for Pork Chop and Dutch in just one moment.
Ready to go at a 1-fall 15-minute time limit match. 1-fall 15-minute time limit. Introducing a total weight of 425 pounds on the left of your screen, both from Memphis, Tennessee, Pat Hutchinson and Jesse Owens. And going against him at a total weight of 463 pounds from Washington, D.C., Pork Chop Cash and his partner from Oil Trough, Texas, Dutch Manta. 1-fall, 15-minute time limit, Jerry Calhoun, the referee.
I've now been doing this long enough that I can now start to recognise some of the enhancement talents because I recognise I was writing Jesse Owens' name down before Dave even announced it. That's how good I am getting at this, watching this. But to be honest, I have been watching it since probably 1980, on and off, 1981. So, and you know what, I do, obviously I do 1978 WWWF, I do 1996 WCW, Japan. I watch other stuff as well, just out of my own pleasure. But there's nothing quite like Memphis. I said this last week, there really isn't. I haven't recorded a Memphis podcast for a few weeks now. You hear it every week, but like I said at the beginning, I'm ahead. So I haven't recorded one for a couple of weeks. And today I was looking forward to watching Memphis wrestling. I was looking forward to hearing Lance and Dave. I was looking forward to seeing what's going on. And so far, it hasn't disappointed, so I'm loving it. So Pat Hutchinson starting for his team. Black tights, black boots. Going up against Porkchop Cash. Blue tights. White boots. Are they blue? Yeah, they're kind of like a turquoisey blue. But Porkchop in control of the match as so far as you would imagine. Work on the arm of Pat. Tags in Dutch. Black singlet, red boots. The mayor of Oil Trough, Texas. Takes down Hutchinson with a side headlock. You see Pat last week? Yes, he was in that merciful beating, wasn't he? That eight-man tag. Dutch side headlocks him down again. Both been very hairy, very beardy. Obviously, Dutch has got the extra hair on his torso. Tags in to Porkchop Cash. Porkchop Cash stops Pat Hutchinson from getting from punching Dutch, but then Dutch lands a knee in the bread basket. Snap mare by Porkchop Cash into a reverse chin lock. Chin, chin, chin. Smothering him with those big old forearms. It's Porkchop Cash. Recently turned good guy. He saved. Who did he say? He saved someone from a beatdown, didn't he? Where did he do that? Who did he do that with? It wasn't that long ago, was it? There was a tag match. Can't remember, but he saved someone from getting a beating, didn't he? And he turned good guy then. Yeah. Oh! Porkchop with another. Unbelievably, some people, like, I'd heard of Porkchop Cash before I did this show, but never knew much about the man. But if you look at his, like, his, his goddamn cage match. He'd been wrestling since 1968. He had his last match in 2001, and he had his first match. He wrestled as Al Nelson. He wrestled for the WWWF in 1968 against. He defeated in his opening match. He defeated well. His first match listed a cage match. He defeated Johnny Rods. And then a few weeks later, he had a match teaming with Ernie Lasseter, and they went to a they lost 2-1 against the Sicilians, that being the legendary Lou Albano and Tony Altamore. And then he had his last match. He goes to the WWF as an enhancement talent in like 88. Before that, he is in Championship Wrestling from Florida. No, sorry, he's in Central States. Mid-South as well. He goes to Mid-South after he leaves here. So he's got a long and storied career. Nearly 40-year career, 30-year career. That's my talent now in with Pat Hutchinson. That's a bit of action there. Jesse Owens was in the ring, sorry, and he was wearing green tights. Green boots. I think these were green yellow boots. Break of the ice by Pat Hutchinson. Patterson's now clobbering now on the back of Dutch Mantel. Oh, working him in the corner with some forearms. Oh, and again. Dutch Mantel with a side head look and a punch to the face. Tags in Porkchop Cash. Irish whip by Dutch. Oh, double knife edge chop to the gut by Porkchop. Yeah, Jesse Owens is wearing green singlet white boots. Yellow boots. Irish whip by Cash. Oh, butt bump. Takes him down with a butt bump. A move Iceman Parsons uses in World Class. Irish whip by Porkchop. Dutch is in. Oh, big hook and lariat. Goes to the cover. One, two, three. Dutch Mantel and Porkchop Cash are your winners.
Dutch Mantel and Porkchop Cash have their hands raised after Hutchinson especially and his partner Jesse Owens gave him a battle early in the match, but it was Mantel and Porkchop getting the win.
Yeah, they sure did. Kind of an interesting move that Chops made before he tagged out to the Dutch in there. We've seen him use it on a couple of occasions. Here, Dutch has already been tagged, and Dutch just pops that lariat clothesline at him, puts him down, and it's going to be a 1-2-3. And after Dutch hit him with that, it was all academic. Just tell me how long, and you did tell us how long. We've got more action. We'll be back to it in just a moment. Hey, we're going to be back in the ring right here in just one moment. Before we do it, we want to get him out here. The King. Jerry.
Oh, man. Good to have you right out here on this very good day.
Thank you. I know I'm not really scheduled to be out here right now, but I saw a guy in the back fixing to come out here, and before he came out, I just wanted to come out for just a second.
Yeah, you said you wanted to talk about something.
Well, it's just I want to talk about this guy that's going to come out here and kind of maybe reintroduce him to a lot of the people. I see a lot of real young folks out there that might not necessarily remember this guy, but I remember this guy real well because, you see, when I first started wrestling, the promoters, what you would do, naturally, you know, you beg for months or years or whatever. You beg the promoters, you say, look, I've worked hard, I've trained and everything, but the main thing is you could be the greatest wrestler in the world. If you never get a match, nobody's going to know it. So you beg the promoters, please give me a chance. I'll wrestle anybody just to prove to you how bad I want to wrestle, you know. And I was on the phones every day talking to the promoters up in Nashville. I said, please, you know, I really want to wrestle. And they finally, they said, okay, we're going to give you a match. It was over in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And they put me against this guy, and I found out later they would take all the young wrestlers who were trying to get into wrestling, and they would put them against this guy, and he would beat you, I mean, so bad, unmercifully. He would, I mean, you know, when you'd have to crawl or be carried out of the ring, and he would give you such a beating that if you call the promoters back and said after that match, if you ever called him again, said you wanted to wrestle again, then they knew you had some potential. Because, you know, if you would come back after that, you wanted to wrestle. And then what they would do is they would book you against this guy in your second match. And, I mean, you know, it was like over and over, because he would beat you so bad that he really gave you a great indoctrination to wrestling. And the guy I'm talking about, and I want to bring him out here right now, is Tojo Yamamoto. And I haven't seen him in a long, long time. And you get kind of a mixed reaction, because Tojo has had, you know, he's had some, he's been a fan favorite, and he hadn't always been a fan favorite. But I'll tell you one thing you always could depend on from this guy: when you stepped in the ring with him, hello Tojo, how you doing? When you stepped in the ring with him, you could depend on one thing: you were either going to have to be carried out or you were going to crawl out. I can guarantee you that.
Tojo was last here about 18 months ago.
It's been a while. I've got a mixed reaction, too, because you've had and given Dave and I some uneasy moments in the past.
I'm sorry. What past? Past already, Mr. Van Russell. You understand what is past? Past.
What's past? Tojo, tell us what you've been doing.
Well, Mr. Van Russell, I've been wrestling little and training little, and I went on vacation.
Just taking some time out, and you have been training some people and doing a little wrestling
yourself.
Little
wrestling myself, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Well, by golly, I'll tell you what. This is one guy that has been in there with every top wrestler in the United States, and he's got quite a record against him.
Well, Mr. Lance Russell, I want to say this, that Jerry Jarrett, I started Jerry Jarrett wrestling because Jerry Jarrett one time was only 160 pounds, you understand? And I used to wrestle, and he used to come, watch the match and everything. And Jared one day come up to me. He said, Mr. Tojo Yamamoto, can you train me how to wrestle? I like to learn how to wrestle your style. My style? He said, yes. I said, okay, Jared, you come to my training camp. Okay, he come to my training camp. I just beat him, torture, I crucify and everything. And he still keep on coming. And I know, I find out, that he had big heart, you understand, Mr. Lance Russell? Because
back.
His size no mean nothing. When I train him, and then I put him with me as a tag team champion, we won all kind of champion. We broke all record crowd, Mr. Lance Russell, you understand that?
Oh, I remember.
And we tortured that interns, you understand? Mm-hmm. And now, Mr. Lance Russell, another fella come up to me was Tommy Rich. You understand Tommy Rich?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Tommy Rich come up to me, same thing, he said, told you I want to wrestle. So I told Tommy Rich, okay. But Tommy Rich was very clumsy, you understand? And very stupid, you understand? Yes. Mm-hmm. And then every time I go in a ring, he hurt me. He kicked my face, kicked my mouth, you understand? Yeah. I took lots of time with him. I trained him, same thing, and he had courage and everything. And he come back for more. I train him, keep on training. And then finally before, he stayed with me almost 1 year on the road. I took him just like my son and my family. Mm-hmm. I took him 1 year on the road. And then today, you know, he's a nationwide TV champion.
You betcha. Two of them right there.
Yes.
And Jerry Jarrett and Tommy Rich. You've got
now,
the background.
And I get caught again from these, you know what, these young generation team.
New generation?
Yeah. Mark Batten and Johnny Weirhart. They called me, same thing. They said, Tojo, you train Jerry Jarrett to be champion. You train Tom Reese to be champion. And they said that they like to be trained by me too. But I told them, same thing. If you come to my training camp, you pass my training camp, and all the exercise and all the treatment I give, if you pass with your good heart,
Tojo is 57 here. He also helped train Bobby Eaton and also helped train Sid Vicious.
I said, how's everything go? They said, very bad. I said, what you mean, very bad? They said, Randy Macho Man Savage beat them. I said, well,
I
know, like Mr. Lance Russell, I said, that team is not good. They're not an inexperienced team and everything. I've been training them, but now today, I come here live. And I'm going to manage them, and I'm going to see them, and I'm going to give them the worst today.
So you're going to be with them at ringside?
That's right,
not
yes.
Not just in the training camp?
Yes, not training camp. I'll be here with the manager today. Thank you very much.
You got one of the toughest guys in the world right here as their manager. Tojo Yamamoto. Boy, it has been a long time. But let me tell you what. He has turned out, Dave, some dynamite stars, and he's now with a couple of young fellas that we were very impressed with as to their potential.
And we're talking about the new generation coming in right now. Ken Timms jumps up. Dusty Woods, we're looking at the Hollywood Blondes. Okay, let's have the introductions, Dave.
One fall, 15-minute time limit, total weight of 448 pounds from Hollywood, California. Ken Timms and Dusty Woods, the Hollywood Blondes, over on the left of the screen. And going against them at a total weight of 442 pounds. The new generation, Mark Batten and Johnny Willoyd, and their manager, trainer in the corner, Tojo Yamamoto. This will be one fall, 15-minute time limit. Referee is Jerry Calhoun.
And you know, Dave,
tag team action, the new generation of Johnny Willoyd and Mark Batten going up against the Hollywood Blondes, Ken Timms, Dusty Wolf. Not Dusty Woods. Well, he may be being billed as Dusty Woods, but it's Dusty Wolf. Enhancements, talent extraordinaire in the late 80s, early 90s in WCW and WWF. So who are we going to be getting? Ken Timms, start first team. Black tights, black boots. Mark Batten. Green. Trunks, white boots, tags in Johnny Willoyd. Johnny Willoyd. Oh, drop kicks Ken Timms. Ken Timms didn't see the blind tag. Side headlock by Johnny Willoyd. Springboard headlock takedown by Johnny Willoyd. Hits is a nail by Ken Timms. Escape by Willoyd. Brings me back up to the feet. Whew. Dusty Wolf now tagged in. Black tights, black boots. Colin over top. Regularized by Dusty. Irish whip by Dusty, ducks his head, leap red frog by Johnny Willoyd into a drop kick. Dusty Wolf is very his characteristics, his arm movements, and that is very Buddy Landell. Shove off by Dusty, knee to the gut to boy Willoyd. Willoyd now have a side headlock on Dusty. Side headlock. Referee's distracted. Side headlock. Shove off by Dusty. Oh! Ken Timms got something out of his tights and then he smashed Johnny Willoyd in the throat with it. Following that Irish whip by Dusty Wolf. Dusty Wolf now picks up Johnny Willoyd and rams him headfirst in the top turnbuckle. Tags in Ken Timms, who's got that weapon. Now choking Johnny Willoyd around the throat. Dusty Wolf still continues to choke Johnny Willoyd while the referee's trying to get Mark Batten back in out of the ring. Referee's now no longer distracted, but he is because Ken Timms came back in. Dusty Wolf still choking. Good lord. It's a fucking attempted murder, I think. Jerry Calhoun's now down there. Ken Timms back in the ring. Dusty Wolf still choking him. Good God. Referee's trying to get in there to see what's going on. Nope. Jerry Calhoun sees, and he's called for the bell. So the new generation win by disqualification. That did seem a bit too going on too long. Oh, double team by Dusty Wolf and Ken Timms, though. Johnny Willhoyt's now out of the ring because he's been choked to death. And I think they're now choking Mark Batten as well while Ken Timms kicks him. The new Hollywood Blondes here are mercilessly choking the new generation. Oh, they grabbed him by the legs. One's got him by the legs, one's got him by the neck. Good lord above. Here comes Tojo. Tojo's in. No, knife edge shot by Tojo. Tojo clearing house of these Hollywood Blondes. Oh! Tojo in his suit and cap coming in, working over the Hollywood Blondes. The little 57-year-old absolutely annihilating the Hollywood Blondes. Oh! Knife edge chop again by Tojo. Good lord. Tojo clearing house. Oh! Thrust to the throat there by Tojo. Dusty Wolf's coming back in for some more. Oh, and again. It's knocked out of the ring by Tojo. New generation win by disqualification.
Boy, he hasn't lost the ability to do that, has he? He stepped in there and went after both of them, never backed up an inch, throwing chop after chop, and the new Hollywood Blondes are out of the ring. There they are. They're still down here on the floor. Yeah, they're in great.
Tojo over with Mark Bennett and Johnny Wilhoy. Johnny was really they were choking on him for a minute with that rope, and Tojo and Mark Batten trying to get Johnny back to his feet. There they are. The new generation wins it by disqualification. Time, 2 minutes, 15 seconds.
Okay, they've got Johnny on the way back to the dressing room in there to get over that being choked. What a move. When Tojo, after it was all over with, got in there as they were choking Mark Batten, and Johnny, of course, is still down, he really cut loose with those chops on him. I got to tell you that for a fact. We're going to take time out. We got some more of it coming up. We'll be back in just a moment. Look at here.
Those are the nunchucks that Hart carries. Waller coming at Angel. Crowd saying, get her.
We've seen footage of Jim Neidhart and the Animal now coming into the ring. So was that Olympus? Rick Rude attacking Jerry Lawler. This is from this past week in the Mid-South Coliseum. Paul Morton, the referee. Jimmy Hart had some nunchucks. Angel was in there. Jerry Lawler looked at him. He was going to fucking attack Angel. 3-on-1 or 4-on-1 now with Jerry Lawler. Oh, back to the studio.
Should have been out here just a second earlier. Boy, I'll tell you what, that was something else.
Dynamite action! In store for you Monday night, if nothing else. But the one bout that will be taking place, Stan and Steve, back in the Memphis area for this particular bout with Jerry as their partner. Jerry.
Man, I just heard Ron Mikulajic say you couldn't ask for better partners, but I got to repeat it. Couldn't ask for better partners. This is something I've been looking forward to for a long, long time. Because as you just saw on that tape, who do we have? Not only Rick Rude to contend with, but Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, right. The Animal, whatever he is. Angel and Jimmy Hart, they all want to jump in. They all want to glom on one person. Well, let me tell you something.
Half the family,
all five of them. Well, it don't. You know, I said, I want to take all five of them at once, but I don't need to get four other partners. I just need to get two. So I give Stan and Steve a call, and here they are, brother. And Monday night, I'm looking forward to it, Lance, because this is going to be a kind of a 4th of July celebration, just a little bit late. We're going to keep the fireworks coming. We're going to have it. We're going to do it all down there Monday night. I can guarantee you. Hart, Rick Rude, I want you, brother. And Hart, you just get in the way, and you're going to be mine too. And I would say what I was going to do to Angel, but I had to make these guys a promise in order to get them here. And I'll let them tell you.
I got to hear this.
You know what, Lance? It's going to be like heaven there. I can't believe it. Back here in the Mid-South, all of our friends, all of our loved ones, we made Jerry the King promise us one thing. When Steve and I and Jerry eliminate all those big macho men, Animal and all the rest of them, we're going to let the King take care of that limp-wristed, panty-waist Jimmy Hart because we didn't want to get near him. All Steve and I want is Angel. And let me tell you something, Angel. We're not going to come out there and punch you, but when you get pinned by the Fab, sweetheart, you'll never want to get out.
Oh, what'd you say, Steve?
Hey, I'm not allowed to talk like that on the air, lad. No, I just want, you know, there's not much I can add to this whole thing. But like Stan said, it is a pleasure to come to what we consider home. And, you know, when Jerry gives us a call, we're going to be here right at a heartbeat. And it's always a pleasure to come back and see all the fans. And, you know, what kind of reception can you ask for more than what these people are giving us?
They love it.
And we're just glad to be here.
We're looking forward to it. And that is going to be, as I said, worth the price of admission by itself to see that handicap tag back.
All I can say is this has been a kind of a lighthearted interview, a lot of fun, as it always is with these guys around. But I can guarantee you there's going to be five people that are not going to be having fun Monday night. And that's Hart and his whole stinking family, because believe me, there'll be no laughing matter when we get in the ring with them down there Monday. I guess.
Okay, we're going to see you back
Well, I might have some fun.
Oh, there's nobody like him. I'll tell you.
When you say let's get the family together, it's a happy occasion, but not so on Championship Wrestling. Coming out now, Jimmy Hart, the Animal, the Anvil, Rick Rude, and Angel. Yeah, you got them all here.
You better believe it, baby. The family. You know, I'm excited.
in, baby. Finally, the family is reunited. You know, this is probably the greatest day of my life. Come here, Russell. I want you to back over here with me and take a look at this. Take a look at the family now, pal. I want you people to listen because you might learn something, baby. You know what? These people out here, they're so dumb. You know, a couple of guys come out with a few muscles and some bleached hair and a tan, and everybody gets excited. Well, look at the animal right here, and look at Jim Neidhart. Look at him. Aren't they impressive to you, Russell?
Impressive.
Well, they impress me, baby. Look at the animal. You know, he will do anything to anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere, and he's going to do it Monday night. Now, look at Neidhart, the greatest professional football player in the world today, and now the greatest professional wrestler. You see this football helmet right here?
I see.
You know what we're going to do? You know, these people like bleached hair. They like tan and muscles, and we're going to spread it all over that Coliseum because they're going to take turn and lane in each arm like this with their heads, and they're going to make them pop. And then we're going to take that bleached hair and scatter it everywhere. You know what I'm trying to tell you about? Because you see, this is our plan. You know, just like Muhammad Ali used to do. Muhammad Ali used to go out, and if he said he's going to knock somebody out in round five, he did it. Well, that's what I'm predicting. I'm predicting exactly what we're going to do Monday night to Kern Lane and Lawler. What an idiot Lawler is going out. Three people against five of the greatest athletes in the world today. Sure, those guys are good, baby, but they ain't that good. But Neidhart and the animal are going to take care of Kern and Lane. And then that leaves us to the Southern heavyweight champion, Rick Rude, probably the greatest champion this territory has ever had in its life, baby, the king of professional wrestling. But Rick Rude's going to get in the ring with Lawler. That we've got Kern and Lane out of the way. And he's going to beat Lawler within the inch of his life. And then he's going to tag in Angel, the most beautiful woman, even with this bandage and scar on her face that Lawler did to her, baby, in the world today. And give me your spike heel, Angel. Come here, honey. Give me that. After he beats Lawler with an inch of his life, baby, Angel is going to get on top, baby. And she is going to drop this heel right into your forehead, Lawler. And we're going to put you out once and for all, baby. Once and for all. Now, I believe the king of professional wrestling, the Southern heavyweight champion, has something he would like to say.
I'm sure.
You know, Lance, there's only one doubt in my mind, and that is I doubt that Jerry Lawler has the guts to step in the ring with me. You know something, Lance? That punk's been running from me for some time now. He's got to do everything in his power to try to hurt me, burn my face, hit my valet. Well, let me tell you something, punk. When I beat you down, when I beat you down so bad you can't even move, take a look. Hey, idiot, put the camera down on them spikes, because, Lawler, that's what I'm going to run through your head. You're going to kick them spikes right through Jerry Lawler's marshmallow head. And for them two bleached blonde punks out there, why don't we just see who ends up getting pinned, baby?
And for all of those people that call me wimp, for everybody that called me wimp just then, baby, I promise you we're going to take it out on Kern, we're going to take it out on Lane, and we're going to take it out on Lawler, and the fabulous ones who get Lawler will never want to come back to this territory again.
I've heard the name The Animal as we've been reading through some of the results, and he is apparently a wrestler. He used to wrestle in the rival ICW territory, the Poffo territory, as Big Boy Williams. His real name is Charles Ralph Derryberry. Derryberry.
Introducing at a total weight of 437 pounds from Memphis, Tennessee, Ken Raper, and from St. Petersburg, Florida, John King. Going against him, total weight 470 pounds, Poffo Mania with the manager Angelo Poffo. From St. John's, New Brunswick, Sir Lanny Poffo. And from Sarasota, Florida, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. One fall, 15-minute time limit. Jerry Calhoun, the referee.
Pretty good sized team.
So tag team action. We've got Ken Raper and John King going up against Poffo Mania, Randy Savage and Sir Lanny Poffo. Excuse me, the bell is ringing. We are underway. Randy Savage, yellow trunks, yellow boots. Going up against John. That's Ken Raper, I think. Savage giving the crowd some abuse. Angelo Poffo at ringside. Lanny Poffo just walking around. And Lanny Poffo, Ken Raper, blue singlet, white boots. Getting taken down by Randy Savage. Side headlock takedown there by Randy. Head scissor by Ken. Both men back up to their feet.
and totally different in personality too.
John King now in blue trunks, white boots. Randy tags in Lanny, who leaps over the top rope and does his posing and what's the word I'm looking for? Dramatic posing and doodahs. Head scissor takedown by Lanny, who's wearing silver trunks, silver boots. He's billed from New Brunswick. I'm not entirely sure why, because obviously Randy's from South Florida, Poffo's from Kentucky. Well, he ran that promotion in Kentucky, so I'm not entirely sure where Lenny Poffo is from. I think when he's in the WWF, he gets billed from Ohio, Shakers Heights. No, passing something Grove, Ohio, I think. Oh, Lenny Poffo was in a gorilla press position by John King, but John King just sort of collapsed to the ground. Randy Savage is in. Oh, single axe from the second rope. Obviously, top rope is illegal. John King gets thrown to the outside. Randy goes up to the top. Angelo distracts Joey Calhoun. Oh, double axe from the top to the outside. The referee just turns around and goes, what happened there? Oh, forearm smash there by Randy in the back of John King on the outside. And again. John King now rolled back inside. Randy follows. John King with a punch to the gut and another punch to the gut. Scurries through the legs and tags in Ken Raper. Oh, Ken Raper from behind attacks Randy. Irish whips from corner to corner. Follows him in. Oh, no, but Randy gets up a high knee. Randy picks him up, tags in Lanny. Lanny comes in. Oh, leaping springboard knee to the back by Lanny. Picks up Ken Raper, slams him down. Lanny now drops an elbow. Goes to the top rope. Second top. Oh, moonsault one. No, gets up. All this fucking posing. This is a bit just over the top, too much. Lanny now goes to get John King out of the corner. Randy Savin puts Ken Raper on the top rope. Lanny does a cartwheel for shits and giggles. They're getting a second rope superplex from Randy. Goes for the 1, 2, 3. Winners of the match, Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo.
We're going to go with Poffo Mania today.
Poffo Mania, 3:21 the time.
Time out now to take a look at Poffo Mania in action against the Rock and Roll Express. This is something I think that Rock and Roll will long remember.
Rick with the right hand, but leaping Lanny with the boot to the midsection. To the turnbuckle and a tag on Savage. Lanny holding the tights as Randy Savage hurls him out.
So I think this is from the other week when they had the table spot, I think. I don't think we read the results and we didn't read that. Let me just double check. This would have been July the 2nd. Yeah, this is from the other week when... This is from the Star Wars when Ricky gets piled right through the table. Big slam by Lanny. Goes up to the second rope. No, top rope. Top rope. Oh, cannonball sent on, but misses. Ricky Gibson now in. Robert Gibson, sorry, now in. We're going to have both of the Poffos.
Disqualification. Disqualification, 9 minutes of time as... to the rock and roll. A disqualification. Look out, Savage.
Savage and Poffo trying to pile drive Robert Gibson on the concrete, but Ricky Morton comes in to break up that attempt. Now Angelo Poffo, he grabs Morton and rams him on the table. Savage now coming along. Savage with Ricky Morton. And makes him think about it. And pile drives him through that thick, hard table. Good Lord. Good Lord. We saw this last week. There's some fans like high-fiving each other. There's some male fans like loving that. But here we saw this last week. Randy Savage now. Oh, good Lord, he's got his sword out.
Talk. Are we sexy or are we not?
Yeah, you really think that's something. You almost break a guy's neck on a table.
Look it, man. It was great, man, because Papo Mania is going to go from team to team to team. Tell Tojo Yamamoto that. Tell Stan and Steve that. And go to Rock.
Hey, you're not done with Rock and Roll Express yet. Rick Morton and Robert Gibson are still there.
What do you want about the pile driver, baby?
Yeah, I know, but listen, they'll be back in action. Let's listen to what they had to say about the whole thing.
You know, Rick, when we left the Mid-South area, we went looking for a national ranking. And, brother, we got that. You know, we're ranked in the top five in the world today. And we ain't about to come back home and let three punks, I'm talking about the Paco Mania. Son, we ain't coming back here and let y'all make us out of a stepping stone. Cause you ain't looking.
They're in the Mid-South TV studio because there's the Mid-South wrestling banner behind them. And they've both got some very sexy moustaches. Very sexy.
I want to relay a little message back to the Paco Mania. You know, the last time we wrestled these guys in Memphis, Tennessee, you stepped in the ring and you hit us with lefts, you hit us with rights, you even run my head in the post and even got up on top and power drive me on top of the table out on the floor. Well, brother, when that match was over, you still seen us get up and walk back to that dressing room, brother. Now I want to tell you just a little something, brother. Now, you can do all you want to, you can say all you want to, but the Rock and Roll Express is coming back home. Now, it's tag teams like you that made us what we are today, made us what we don't care. And when you see us again, you're going to see why we don't care, brother. We're going to step in that ring, and we're going to beat you. Now, either you can fly with the Eagles, or you can scratch with the Chickens. Brother, the Rock and Roll Express loves to fly high, and I'm telling you that right now. So, Randy Savage, Lanny Poffo, Angelo Poffo, do all you can, brother, because you're going to see the Rock and Roll Express. We're coming back home, brother. We're coming back home to take care of some business. Like I said before, we don't care what we do and how we do it. We're coming to win. We're not talking about putting your shoulders down on the ring for a three count. We're talking about winning. Now, I don't care if we have to roll out on the floor, get a chair, bring a chain, or even a baseball bat, brother. The Rock and Roll Express is coming back.
Revenge, baby.
And when we get through with you, brother, you're going to wish you never even heard of the Rock and Roll Express. Like I said, yeah, you hurt my neck, but my pride was hurt a heck of a lot more. And we're coming home. We're coming home to get you. So you remember, the Rock and Roll Express, the new one, we're coming back. Woo!
Your way.
There's no doubt about it.
Is that a threat?
Yeah, that's exactly what they had.
Oh, is that dumb? Oh, is that stupid, man? Because we make the Road Warriors look like little kids walking around the street. Ask Dan and Steve. Ask the Rock and Roll.
Lance, I have to admit, I was viewing that tape with a great deal of skepticism. But after having seen it and judging it merely for its content, I have to say, when you sift out all the hey babies and the rock and roll jargon, of which I am not familiar, but I have made a study from a little bit behind the scenes, they don't care what they're going to do as long as they do it. In other words, the end justifies the means. In other words, the worst form of motivation is revenge. Revenge is one thing that no man should put us under, because there is no satisfaction that comes from revenge, even from victory. What we are talking about is decadent filth. Rock and roll, in its essence, is taking young men and women and making them slaves to sins of the flesh and sins of pleasure. I stand for courage, purity, honesty, humility, diligence, charity, and fidelity.
Well, that gave you an idea about Popomania. Well, let me tell you, Rick and
Don't
Robert...
Don't tell us nothing! Don't tell us nothing!
That knocking noise was at Randy Savage smashing a chair into his head.
Popomania, yeah. The sexiest team that nobody can do anything about. Don't talk to him no more!
All right, that's good. We don't want to talk to you anymore anyhow.
All right, then.
All right, then. We'll get back around here before we get in the middle of Poffomania. Well, we we've been waiting for it. And now the finale coming up here with the King and Stan and Steve in an exploration of time match. It's going to be quite a go. No bad team they're going against, the Nightmares. Both of them back in action now, and their partner will be Big Keith Robertson, as we will have a six-man tag match in what time we do have left. Stan and Steve walking around the ring saying hi to everybody along with the King up in the ring as he is watching the crowd. Really super reception everywhere these guys go. I think we mentioned a little bit ago that they're an unusual combination. They've got great sense of humor, and yet, boy, they're as serious as a heart attack when it comes down to getting to it, brother. They can give you that action. Woo!
They step up into the ring right now. This is going to be a match to the expiration of time. Introducing for six-man tag team action at a total weight of 660 pounds from parts unknown, the Nightmares, and their partner from Memphis, Tennessee, Keith Robertson. Going against them, total 682 pounds from Memphis, Tennessee, the King, Jerry Lawler. And his partners, both out of Florida, one from Tampa, one from Delray Beach, Steve Kern and Stanley. For the expiration of time.
Expiration of time tag team match. Six-man tag team match, I should say. We've got the Nightmares and Keith Robertson going against Jerry Lawler and the Fabulous Ones. We've got one of the Nightmares starting for his team. Jerry starting for his team. Jerry Lawler, red and grey singlet gold boots. Going against Nightmare number one. White and red tights, white boots. White and blue mask. Carnivore type. Nightmare pushes Lawler into the corner. Oh, right, forearm smash by the Nightmare. We've seen one Nightmare for quite a while where the other one's been gone. But now they're back. Back as a tag team. Rush mid circle. Corner tie up. Nightmare pushes Lawler into the corner again. Oh, big right hand by the Nightmare. Oh, one in return by Lawler though. Nightmare complaining of a closed fist. Can't never tie up. Nightmare pushes Lawler into the ropes. Oh, Robertson was holding him, but Lawler got out of the way, and Nightmare hit nothing but Keith Robertson.
Robertson hadn't even tagged in. He's already been decked down here on the studio floor.
Knocked down to the floor.
The other Nightmare tags in now. We're a matching outfit. Can't ever tie up. Pushes Lawler into the ropes. Nope, reversal by Lawler. Reversal hold, puts him in the corner. Tags in Stan. Punch to the gut by Lawler, punch to the gut by Stan. Snap mare at the corner by Stan. Stan, black tights, white boots. Bar now. Tags in Steve. Steve wearing matching black tights, white boots. Rolls up the Nightmare. One, two, two count. Both men back up to their feet. Carnivore type. Oh, top wrist lock by the Nightmare. Top wrist lock by the Nightmare. Reversal by Stan. Sorry, Steve. Now a front face lock. Tags in Lawler. Lawler comes in. Big round to the Nightmare. Rocks the Nightmare. Nightmare now back into his corner. Tags in Keith Robertson. Black tights, black boots. No one wearing that outfit will ever make a dime. Can't ever tie. Keith Robertson a bit taller than Lawler. Oh, but Lawler grabs Robertson and rams him headfirst at the top turnbuckle. Now in the boot of Stan Lane, who's now tagged in legally. Stands in, picks up Keith. Oh, slams him down. Keith's no small man. Stan now with a belly to belly, side suplex. Gut wrench suplex, that's it. Double arch up there by the Fabs. Big back body drop. Steve picks up Keith and slams him down. Oh, Jerry Lawler comes in off the second rope. One, two, Three. Don't know how that happened, but Jerry Lawler came off the second rope and gets the pin with a fist drop.
We'll be back with a final word in just a moment.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. We've just watched the 7th of July 1984 edition of Memphis Television. Hopefully you enjoyed that. It was nice. It was nice to see some returning faces, and everything went nice and quick. It was how we like it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for continued support. If you haven't, like I said, please subscribe to the Place to Be Wrestling Network. Some great shows here, and obviously coming up this Tuesday is the debut episode of In Your House, another podcast brought to you by the old Bakery Productions. As we like to do each and every other Monday, you've got this coming Monday, you've got January 27th, 1996, WCW Saturday Night. And then following Monday, you will be having the 17th of June, 1978 edition of Hamburg All-Stars. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This has been episode 156 of the Memphis Continental Wrestling Cast. Thank you to the fine folk of Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you very much to Lance Russell, Dave Brown, and Jerry Jarrett. And until next time.
When it's spring again, I'll bring again tulips from Amsterdam. With a heart that's true, I'll give to you tulips from Amsterdam. I can't wait until the day you fill these eager arms of mine. Like the windmill keeps on turning, that's how my heart keeps on yearning for the day I know we can share these tulips from Amsterdam. From Amsterdam, with a heart that's true, I'll give to you tulips from Amsterdam. I can't wait until the day you fill these eager arms of mine. Like the windmill keeps on turning, that's how my heart keeps on yearning for the day I know we can share these tulips from Amsterdam. Share these tulips.